as spring winds down, we're fortunate enough to get to speak on the radio with one of the new faces of the Duck coaching staff. He's a graduate of Kent State, class of 92. I don't know if you could fit his title on one of those nameplates. It's assistant coach, passing game coordinator, quarterback coach. Either way, we welcome in David Yost. Coach Yost, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great.
So I was doing the math here. You've only been out of college 24 years, yet it seems like you've been coaching almost from the moment you left school. What was it about this profession that was so immediately attractive that you were able to kind of, you know, finalize your education and move right into earning a living as a football coach?
Well, I always knew I wasn't a very good player and all that. So I knew I was, and I loved the game of football, and I loved sports and the competition, so I knew coaching was probably going to be one of my paths of what I wanted to do. I actually coached little league baseball all the way through college in the summers, just because that's the only thing at the time they'd let me be the head coach of. And back then, I, like everybody, I was 18 to 22 and thought I knew everything, and now I'm 46 and I know I don't know anything. So it's how it works.
I think maybe you're somewhere in the middle, at least.
some days I am.
Now, you got your Division I coaching career started working for Gary Pinkel at Toledo. You moved with him when he replaced the guy at Missouri that many in this league are familiar with, Larry Smith. You spent a lot of years working with Coach Pinkel, who retired this past autumn. What would you say are some of his characteristics as a coach and a teacher that struck you and perhaps you've adopted as your career has progressed?
Well, his attention to detail of every aspect of everything that you do, from working with, when you're working with a quarterback, from footwork to if you're dealing with in recruiting how you do things to everything that you do, it should be publishable. It's kind of how he said it. If it was a part of your playbook, we should be able to send it to publish. From how you carry yourself to how you act to how you dress in public, but you're a representation of the program. So the attention to detail is always a huge deal with him. And then on top of that is how you deal with your players and getting them to understand how much you care about them, because if you want them to care about what we're doing, they got to feel that we care about them personally, not just as football players.
Now, at Mizzou, you coached three players at the quarterback position in Brad Smith, who became the first FBS guy to pass for 2,000 yards, run for 1,000 twice, and folks here, obviously, Blaine Gabbert, Chase Daniel, who are still in the league. From what you've been able to see from Dakota Prukop, whether it be size, arm, leadership, does he have certain characteristics that might remind you of those guys, either a bit or maybe more?
Oh, yeah, and he runs very well. I don't know if he runs as well as what Brad did. I mean, Brad ended up playing some receiver in the NFL, so that's kind of a different level of athleticism when you can do that. But he runs really better than what Chase and Blaine did as far as a runner carrying the football that way. And then his leadership is a lot of the things that very similar to what Chase Daniel was, kind of a fiery competitor that wants the ball in his hands, wants to be the guy, and kind of sees himself that way. I don't know if that's a Texas thing that just naturally happens, but he kind of has that same kind of fire to him and everything. And then he's a sponge as far as wanting to watch as much video as he can, learn the offense as much as he can, and all the parts of it as fast as he can. So, I mean, he's really put in the time, very similar to what Blaine Gabbert did. Blaine Gabbert was able to come in and learn the offense and learn defensive football as fast as anybody had ever I'd ever dealt with. I mean, as a freshman, he was seeing coverage role and that type of stuff, which normally that's in the second or even third year of a quarterback's development. And Dakota's done, I mean, he's a sponge constantly coming in here to watch video, work on things, wants as much time as he can get with me or with Coach Lubick or with Coach Helfer, just watching video of past guys, from Marcus's video to Vernon's video, to learn everything he can about this offense so he can go out and execute it at the level we need him to.
We're talking with Duck quarterback coach David Yost, who spent the last 2 years at Washington State. Kind of curious, from your time as a student in the MAC, you coached in the MAC, Big 12, then the SEC, and now here, as you've been out on the recruiting trail, how would you describe maybe the growth of Oregon football among the young people you speak with as far as recognition and how aware they are of this program here in Eugene?
Oh, it's when you say Oregon or you show up at a school with the green and yellow on and the O and all the, I mean, the bright colors and all the stuff that they give us here to wear when we go out on the road, I mean, it attracts attention, and kids are drawn to that. I mean, they're high school kids. They're excited about it. I know my seven-year-old, I mean, he was an Oregon fan before when I was at Washington State because of the color, those types of things. So it's, I mean, it gives you a chance on every kid. Every kid's interested in Oregon. Part of the recruiting process is basically every guy likes you, and that is just figuring out which ones are willing to kind of fall in love with you and say yes at the end of the day. But it gives you an in and opens the door for you to be able to recruit anybody in the country, and then it's just a matter of are they willing to come out here and is it really the right fit for them and for us and all that. So it's a great position to be in. I mean, there's no one that's kind of off the that is kind of out of your reach. It's just a matter of, can you get them?
All right. You mentioned how you get out there, and we all knew that satellite camps existed. And then it seemed like Jim Harbaugh became the Michigan coach and it became an issue. I'm kind of curious as to your experiences taking part in some of these satellite camps as a coach and what your thoughts are on this ban. Either was it unnecessary? Is it not that big a deal? Or you'll get over it?
Well, it's, I mean, if it stays on, then, I mean, we'll get over it because we're all dealing with the same rules and we're all in the same position that way, which I'm fine with that. I mean, it's a little frustrating that a couple conferences are kind of able to control what kind of goes on because they didn't have it and they didn't want to go the other direction of giving it to themselves. So kind of everybody else fell in line with that. I think it can be beneficial for the kids. It gives them a chance to meet more coaches, get viewed. I know my time at Washington State, we did them. My time at Missouri, we used to run kind of our own within the state, which is kind of a different thing, but it gave us the chance to kind of take our brand of football to a different area and show those kids what we kind of have. And then it's how you use it. Are you using it? There's multiple ways. Are you using it as an evaluation tool as you're out there looking at recruits so you can see who can move, who can run, who can do the things that you're going to look for in your program, or you're using it more as a recruiting tool where it gives you a chance to spend 4 to 5 hours with a prospect that you already know you want.
Oh, interesting. That's a great take.
Right. And the other thing, it kind of opened up for a lot of things, and this, it became more apparent lately, is because when head coaches left spring recruiting, because it used to be spring recruiting was all about the head coaches going to getting them out there to see the recruits. Well, when that rule changed, and there were reasons why they changed it, but when all of a sudden head coaches went on the road anymore in the spring, well, satellite camps gave you a chance to kind of do spring recruiting for head coaches. You get to take your head coach out and meet some of the guys that I've already went down and got an evaluation on when I was out in May, but now you get a chance to take the head coach down in that area, and those kids get to come and meet the head coach and talk to him without having to come all the way to your campus, which meeting the head coach is always a big deal. I mean, that's always a focus. I mean, when the head coach goes to a school, it's an event at those schools most of the time, especially when you bring in a coach like Coach Helfrich or those where everybody kind of knows who he is, and he's such a popular figure in a lot of ways. So, no, it's a lot of different ways you kind of look at it and everything, but if it stays in and we're all dealing with the same thing, we can go with it. I think it cuts down the student-athletes' opportunities to kind of show themselves, and I know from personal experience, it's helped us make decisions on guys in the past where, yeah, this guy, he's faster than what we thought, or in some cases it helps you decide to offer a kid or to recruit a guy, and it's also helped you in times to maybe make sure you don't make a mistake because you got a good number on a guy and what he is athletically or what his speed is or what his vertical jump is, so then you could take that in your evaluation process and use it to make sure you're making good decisions for your program.
I want to talk about one of the guys in your QB stable. Travis Johnson came here very highly rated as one of the top dual threat guys in the country, obviously injured. So from what you've seen, his arm, his decision making, what about the progress he's made so far from your chair this spring?
He's taking some really positive steps this spring, and it's kind of an odd situation, but, I mean, him being a redshirt freshman, he's kind of the most experienced of the three guys we've been repping most of the spring.
Right.
Is Dakota being here in January, even though he has a lot of playing experience, but not within the offense and just how we do things here. And then Terry Wilson getting here basically 4 weeks ago and started classes on Monday and started calling plays on Tuesday. So, I mean, it's kind of been a whirlwind for him. But Travis is kind of a guy that has the best really feel for the offense, best understanding of the offense. Coach Frost had done a tremendous job, even with him being injured, and he'd worked hard at kind of getting a great feel, get a great understanding of the offense, so he could go out and execute it at a pretty high level. And he's had some days that you sit there and say, wow, that's what we expect out of him. And then there's been those times when you say, yep, he's still a redshirt freshman, and he's got to keep coming along and keep making plays. But it's a consistency deal. But the ball comes off his hand really well. He's worked really hard on his throwing kind of mechanics and that, and we're still working on that. The more he uses his feet, because he's such an athletic guy, the better he is, the more accurate he is, and the more things he can do throwing the football in that way. And what he's always been is a kind of a really strong-arm kid that could kind of make those throws without his feet sometimes and get away with that. But there's some times when it doesn't. He puts you in a tough position, and the windows get smaller in college, and they continue to get tougher and tougher as you play better and better competition. And so you see positives out of him every day, and it's been a real good competition, and that'll go on for a while because he's done some good things, and he has tremendous athleticism and throwing and all those things. I mean, he's the right guy to be working with. I can guarantee you that.
All right. One final question. I mentioned earlier all the places you've worked and lived. Personally, I moved here a quarter century ago after living my whole life outside of either Manhattan or Philadelphia, and I never cease to be amazed by here. I know you've only been here a few months, but you, the family, how are you guys doing as far as settling in as Eugenians?
Well, we're working on it. I've been here. Now, my family still finished up the school year in Pullman.
Okay.
Dad and my youngest had his fifth birthday today, and I sent him a Royce Freeman jersey and a couple Oregon hats, so he was all fired up and wore that to his school today, which I don't know if that goes over very well in Pullman. But he did that. But we bought a house, and we're working on getting that finalized and getting down here. But they'll get here in July, and basically they come on vacation in July 1st to Eugene, and we get to stay on vacation forever because we're going to stay here. So we're excited about it. But I'm excited about Eugene. It's a great city. It has everything you want. I mean, it has all the restaurants, all the stuff that way, lots of parks, great schools. So well, this is going to be a great fit for us. And I know the summers up in the Northwest, I've gotten used to them, but that's the best part is those 86 days with no humidity after being in Missouri for 12 years. The no humidity thing is tremendous.
Yeah, as an East Coast guy, you're preaching to the choir here. Well, I know folks are really excited to have you here as part of the program. Your reputation and body of work are spectacular. Appreciate your time. And, of course, as we count down to the start of summer practice and the start of the season, we look forward to catching up again. Thanks for the time, Coach. Really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. Have a great week, and go Ducks this Saturday.
All right, take it easy.